Knowledge is traded.
I have a very special guest, Audrey McGibbon, who is talking to me about experiences of distress, load, the fatigue that women experience, perhaps, you know, maybe because home life is different for them than it is for their male counterparts. But we're looking at the workplace and the ways in which strain is experienced, the mental strain, mental, emotional, psychological strain of being in the modern workplace, with a focus on women in particular. So, Audrey, we're talking about what sort of social connectivity looks like for different people. And what were your findings? Women felt less socially connected.
Yeah, particularly since the onset of the pandemic and the working from home movement. What's really fascinating about that is that working from home, of course, has really given a massive dose of flexibility. Mm. And so in one sense has accommodated professional women contributing more to the workplace. However, from that proximity and really feeling safe and secure and trusted, needed, belonging, all of those things, we miss out on those genuine micro moments in the workplace the longer that we are behind a screen, away from one another.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, and that sort of feeds at a latent level that is thought to be feeding some insecurities that are probably just sitting bubbling away.
And look, is there an element as well? Like, I know when I was working full time with four little kids, I had a husband, but he, you know, I don't have him anymore. And mostly down to this kind of reason is that the expectation was that I would be home in time to do dinner, do those things. Whereas the fellas I worked with kind of, they had a wife, you know, how many women, you know, working going, God, I wish I had a wife, which is really saying, I wish I had someone at home to organise. Mm. Can manage, buy, shop, cook, clean, do all the planning for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Annabelle Crabb did a great piece on that a couple of years ago. It was outstanding. But how that translates into sort of remedies for today, if we remove the emotive term of a wife, what we need to do is find a way of
having partnership,
equitable distribution.
Yeah.
And ideally, you know, if you're in a position whereby you are in a dual income household of professionals, where it is possible, and I'm mindful of the sort of economic times that we live in, but, you know, for me, it makes just so much more sense to be outsourcing as much of the domestic drudgery as you can, make your money work for you, even if that means that you're pulling back on some of the sort of more luxurious end of the spend. So get rid of as much of the drudgery because it's not good for any relationship. And arguably, if there is a perk to being in a senior leadership role in a professional position, it hopefully is a bit to do with income. And yeah. So make that income work where you can. And a step beyond that is having the conversation around what is okay and what's not okay, what is doable, what is not doable, and adjusting both your own expectations and maybe family and or colleagues' expectations, and perhaps it's your husband's or your partner's expectations as well.
Yeah, I think that's really key. And I think when people are organising leadership events, are they looking at things like, you know, how are they testing for, are they requesting from feedback from staff to say, does this actually work for you, this particular thing? Because often, you know, I find these leadership things aren't actually all that helpful for anyone who's got another big job or a big sense of responsibility, whether they actually have that responsibility or not. But it's like that man is the default human thing, you know, like this is what people like, and what they really mean is what blokes like me like doing.
Yeah, certainly we do see a difference. You know, if an organization's executive team is predominantly populated by senior males who have perhaps got stay at home other halves, then it is a really good idea in that context to consciously raise the question of, hey, not everyone, in fact, very few people in today's demographics have that position that you're in. So how do we make this work for double income households and or increasingly households where the woman is the primary earner or sole earner.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
And I think into the future, do you see generationally that that will change? And we know that there are more women graduating from all sorts of, you know, degrees, courses now than there ever before. And young men, I think, have a greater sense of responsibility to have, when they have kids, to being a participant. You don't just hand the baby off when you want to go and play sport or do something else. You understand your partner.
Yeah, I think generationally there's a really positive push towards living our lives in a way that is sustainable in every sense of the word sustainable. At the moment, the existing organisational structures and processes make that really quite hard to do. But I am hopeful there. So we're seeing it come through in younger generations. And that plus the Bernard Salt's done some good stuff over the last, well, he's done amazing stuff all his life recently.
Yeah.
You know, he's been talking about what does the world look like? And the world is a world that needs to start valuing soft skills, the connection, our ability to think differently with one another. And so when you marry that with, you know, we've heard so much about the VUCA world, the volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world. And, you know, didn't we all see it just come into horrific context this weekend? But it's as psychologists, we know that to survive in a VUCA world, we need people who have got vision. So there's an alternative VUCA, which is vision, understanding, clarity, and adaptability. And so whatever we can do to inculcate cultures whereby people are accepting of the relative lack of control that they've had, perhaps previously in their career. Again, Bernard Salt was saying that the average person will have had 17 jobs by the time that they're 40 in the future.
And that is a whole different perspective on work life for everybody. Audrey McGibbon, thank you so much for your time this morning. You're with George McEncroe on Disrupt Radio.